with your mouth.
Okay, thank you. The slide right here set the agenda for this presentation. The question, do payments really contribute to the urban environment or not? If so, how much and where within the urban environment that we have? I will overview some of the evaluation techniques. What are some of those driving factors? Nilam have introduced some of them already. And talk about the different types of payment materials, their properties, their design characteristics, and how they interact and influence the urban environment in a way. And I'll talk a little bit about some of the mitigation strategies out there and some of these opportunities that are already existing for both industries out there. And a couple of slides at the end just to introduce some of the tools and the models that we have been using to in order to assess the urban environment and the contribution of payments within them. This is what you will see here is actually an Aster satellite imagery. It's really one of my favorite satellite imagery that actually got me interested in this subject area. And what you see here is the surface temperature for the Phoenix area and the surrounding urban locations, quite a few mountain ranges here around the Phoenix. This was taken back in 2003 at 11 o'clock at night in October. October was pretty warm. We had warm temperatures. And what you see here is actually a scale of temperatures. The bright yellow is actually the highest surface temperature that has been recorded for that moment. If we take the urban location and take the top 20% of the surface temperature from this image being analyzed, you will see that in the red markers over here. You know, one thing that you can really came out of this is that the highway system is very well highlighted within this urban environment. And we estimate this paved surfaces, not only highways and parking lots and shopping centers and everything else, about 40% of the urbanized land cover in Phoenix. And the conclusion from this is really an evidence that really pavements do contribute to the urban environment. On the next slide here, I'll show you just one of several evaluations in terms of the air temperatures. Nilam have mentioned we have a range anywhere between 9 to 27 degrees. What you're looking at here is the air temperature versus the hour of the day. It's a 24-hour cycle for a urbanized location within the Sky Harbor Airport here in the city of Phoenix. In Cantu Park, which is a green space within the city, and a rural site, which is the city of Maricopa. And you also see o'clock for the paid services, and as you go from the early morning hours, 5 a.m., but again, the bright colors here you see on this is actually will indicate the higher surface temperature. If you go to the ATM, you can start seeing that actually the roadways and the paved surfaces here are showing the higher surface temperature. If you go to 11 a.m., and again, they are the brightest, then move on to 1 p.m., and they are actually the last surfaces that actually will cool down into the evening hours. So again, it's a good shot just showing how we can assess the different surface temperature using the infrared camera. What are some of those driving factors? I have a list here. They are not inclusive of everything, but the canyon geometry within the city, the buildings, they will form some type of canyons that will tend to trap the thermal energy near the bottom surface, and this is exactly the same thing for roadways. And when you have a depressed highway section versus a highway section that's actually constructed, that's great. The thermal properties are important. Dense materials will absorb and retain more thermal energy than the natural surface cover or even a porous material. Anthropogenic heat, these are heat released from combustion of fuels, electrical energy, including the vehicles you're driving on the highways, and they can result in elevation of the temperatures within a dense urban areas. The urban greenhouse effect, the warmer air and air pollution within the city will act as a micro greenhouse effect, if you wish, preventing the heat from radiating from the warm surfaces. And of course, we have the effective reflectivity, albedo. Again, the total reflectivity of a city is reduced, due to trapping effect of shortwave radiation of the building canyons that I just mentioned. Reduction of evaporating surfaces as the city expands and we change, from the natural vegetation to more of a paved infrastructure. There is a loss in the moisture that can actually adversely affect the temperature within the city itself, and that will also contribute to a few other driving factors as well. And then finally, in some areas of the city, the wind patterns can actually be blocked, causing pockets with little wind flow. And again, this reduced mixing of air greatly reduces the heat release from the streets, or the highways within that urban environment. This is just an example. You had mentioned about the canyon geometry and the depressed section versus a fan-made section. This is just a blowout of a Interstate 101 here on the east side of the Phoenix area. This is exactly the same pavement. This is warmer comparing what you see here. It's much cooler. You don't see as much red marks. If you look at the actual highway, this location right here has the advantage of being at grade. It has the landscape on one side and agriculture on the other side. And so it kind of cools down faster at nighttime comparing to the both in the HMA, the hot mix asphalt, and the Portland cement concrete, pervious concrete. They really provide the good control of the thermal conductivity, the density of the material, and the thermal diffusivity, and therefore they provide that added benefit of retaining less heat. And again, we are more concerned with the nighttime phenomena of heat island. White topping strategies for the Portland cement concrete. They have the advantage for the albedo benefits. They also have the advantage of having a lower thermal mass, lower thickness as the pavement thickness, so you have less heat retention. So we have seen actually nice cool surfaces from this technology. Then we move on to reflective asphalt pavement techniques. If you are at TRB, we have actually a paper that has been published in our subcommittee about 2 years ago that talks about the different techniques. In fact, I do have a slide here later on. But again, this is a technique that can better control the albedo, and especially for newly constructed things. The use of thermal-resistant materials, the specific aggregate types are better for heat conduction or retention compared to others. Admixtures, here in Arizona, we use a lot of the crumb rubber, asphalt rubber in the valley. We see some benefits in less heat retention and absorption. Process too. And while the last couple items here is not always economical or practical, but you know, provide some kind of cover, trees and urban streets is very helpful. The use of solar panels, especially for parking garages, they are actually will provide a good mitigation option as well too. My favorite line at the bottom, to pave or not to pave, and don't take me wrong here, because I do earn my living basically from working with pavements. But there are a lot of residential areas here in the Phoenix area that they don't elect to pave their driveways. They go with the natural landscape, do some kind of stabilization process to kind of blend in with the design there. And that's still an option that actually we don't have to pave all the time. Quick screens here of the pavement design characteristics. This is a thin outlet and white topping pavements. It's about 2 inches of Portland cement concrete. Have a good characteristics of having a lower surface temperature, especially during the day. So again, this is the high albedo, lower thickness that will provide a good option for the green island. Reflective asphalt pavements, surface chip seals, lighter color aggregates to being utilized, again, will increase the reflectivity. There's a couple years ago, like I standard that we do for thermal conductivity to measure the thermal property, the thermal conductivity of asphalt or concrete material. We have came up with a modified version, but instead of using plates, we use a cylindrical specimen and to measure the basic thermal conductivity of that material. A little bit more practical for pavements, since everything we do is basically looking into using cylinders for other testing. So again, these are measurements of some of the specific fundamental properties to help us better understand and model our pavements. Some of the tools that we have, we can take all this information, input into a simple model analysis, looking into the environmental condition, our pavement structure thicknesses, the thermal properties now from laboratory measurements. We can actually model the heat conduction, retention, and re-emittance into the atmosphere from such work. But we can take the same formulation in a simple form, and we can apply the same thing for a large city, metropolitan area in this case. So, understanding the landscape, how much of the pavement is really is part of this landscape, how many of the roofs and vegetation and so forth, we can control the different variables and try to understand if we implement a certain policy where we're using a more reflective roofs or more reflective pavements, what's really the impact of the overall temperature in a coarse manner in a way. So we have done some of this work as well too. So finally, I just want to conclude some of these remarks, and I'm sure some of you will have some questions at the end. But pavements really definitely play an important role in the urban heat island effect, and I think some of those preceding slides actually kind of showed you that. There is no one solution that actually fits all, but cooler pavement designs will likely need to be addressed with existing techniques and materials that we have. And I hope you appreciate the complexity of this, all these different various designs that we have and materials, and of course the optimization process that we need to work on to meet other requirements in a way. So more work still needs to be done, more research, testing, modeling, and documentation of field experiments that really is taking place will really help us to advance our knowledge in this area. So with that, I think I will conclude my presentation.